Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. I love that.
Questions and during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Thank you.
All right.
They're excited. I wasn't here last week, so they're excited.
We're good. That's only like a minute and 10 seconds long. Now I could extend that because it seems like it's my voice mostly, and then you come in with a couple of things. But I was like, wasn't the one we did like a couple of years ago, was it like 2.5 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was long. Yeah.
It was long, but we had the guest. We had you coming on, and you know, we hope to talk to people, you know, from around the world as guests or something like that. And then we had the guests saying,
you
where
had
they
clips
were from.
Of quite a few guests actually.
Yep.
On that.
I think I still have that. I bet I still have that audio too. But I keep a ridiculous amount of stuff here. I was thinking, you know, why not? We should like. Maybe for like special events or something, maybe around the holidays, which, oh, by the way, this is a holiday weekend coming up. But,
It is.
We could probably do like an extended one every once in a while. And
yeah, that's a good idea.
But just to, you know,
just
a little
but
bit.
That's
I don't
a good
know,
idea. I like that. Yeah.
I don't know what I could do for the video, but the audio I could redo.
Play with it a little bit, yeah. And all of your free time. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That video took a while to put together, but it was fun.
That would take a while. Yeah, since you're doing the video. Oh, wow. Yeah, the video at the same time. That would be.
Or just pause the video and just have the audio keep going.
Just have it stop. It's stuck. Then it starts again, then it stops again.
Yeah. Slow down a bit. Slow motion.
That would be.
That would really slow it down. Anyway, it's, and I can't find my phone. What am I? I don't know what time it is. Oh, here it is. It is 7:03 p.m. on Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. Thank you for joining us. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, and where else?
And whatever else people decide to hear us on. You can hear us on just about anything.
Yeah, chat with us on those pages, those locations, and I will chat back and keep it about wine.
About wine. But I want to address something before we get into wine.
Sure.
I missed last week's show because last Thursday, my daughter-in-law passed away from complications from COVID. Mm. And it was unexpected. She was 42 years old. She has a 20-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, and a 9-year-old daughter. And her husband, and it snuck up on everybody. She, about a week before, about a week and a half before, she started to feel bad and started to get symptoms, and they tested. She tested positive for COVID, and then the Saturday before last Thursday, whatever date that is, I don't know, but the Saturday before, she had real hard time breathing, and so her husband took her to the hospital, and they put her on a respirator, not a ventilator, but a respirator. And she was breathing better, and she got a little bit better, and then she took a turn for the worse. And then by Wednesday afternoon, her organs were starting to deteriorate, and Thursday morning at 9:35, she passed away. And she was not vaccinated. And if she was, she probably could have fought it off. The doctor even told our son that if she were vaccinated, she probably would not have been affected so badly, and it probably would not have killed her. But she wasn't. Neither was my son at the time. He is now. I mean, it scared him, and so he got vaccinated.
Yeah.
If nothing else from this incident, and it's horrible, we're paying for the cremation, and we called the cremation home and said, we need to pick her up and do the cremation. And the hospital has not released her yet, and they don't know when it's going to be because she needs to be examined by the medical examiner. It's just a county thing or a state thing. I don't know what the law is on that, but she needs to be examined. And the medical examiner is like 3 weeks behind in this county of examining bodies. It's just this COVID is horrid, just absolutely horrid. And if nothing else, and I mean, it's, get vaccinated, people. Get your vaccinations and wear the mask, and let's kill this disease. I mean, let's kill this virus. And there's a new strain coming out of South Africa called B.1.2, and there's a new one that I heard that was in California called Mu, I think it was, or Wu, something like that, M-U or W. And there are just all sorts of different strains or mutations are coming from the original COVID. And it's scary. It's just really scary. So my thing is, get out there and get yourself vaccinated. It doesn't hurt. I've been vaccinated. I asked the pharmacist that gave me the vaccination. I said, is this the same thing in each one of these? And I got the Moderna. He goes, yes. He said, it doesn't change. It's the same one. And I was even able to get a booster because VA and underlying health things with diabetes. Excuse me. And so I was able to get my booster. They're all the same. There's nothing different. It's just a booster. But it doesn't hurt. They're not going to put nanobots in your body or anything. I saw the size of the needle that gives you the shot is really small, and the size of the needle that would take to put in a nanobot in your body is about the size of a pencil. So they're not going to give you any nanobots, and the government's not going to trace you. And if the government wants to trace you, you've got your cell phone in your hand all the time. They can trace you. So.
Yeah, they're catching you anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to.
If you have a smart device in your home, it's listening to you. I've had it go off during television shows, and it's like, I'm sorry, I did not understand that. Please repeat. And I'm like, I'm not talking to you. Turn yourself off. It's constantly listening to me. I'm afraid to say anything now because it's like, talk about,
It's like those Furbies. Remember those things where you used to train it to talk, and they would talk to you and stuff like that. It's like a Furby in your house. Only it's there all the time, listen to you.
Worldwide,
So get your shot. I mean, if there's any legacy that my daughter-in-law leaves, it's the fact that the most of the family has gotten their shots or getting their shots. And just out there, anyone who's listening to this, if you have not got your vaccination, do so. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost. It doesn't do anything. A few people have gotten Well, actually, my wife didn't feel well after the second one, but it lasted 24 hours and she was fine. I mean, it's just so I'm jumping on the bandwagon for these vaccinations. If my daughter-in-law had had one, then she would probably be alive today. So enough of my soapbox there. I just had to cover that. But that's why I missed last week. It was just last week, and there was no funeral or anything. We're probably going to do a celebration of life sometime. But the thing is that really got me, too, is that the medical examiner is like 3 weeks behind on all this stuff. I mean, she hasn't even been released. A lot of hospitals have a refrigerator truck sitting behind on their back lot, and that's where they're putting people until the examiner can examine them. Which it's just horrible. And all these people dying from COVID, too, they can't use any of the organs because the COVID is in all the organs. And so, I mean, what a wonderful source for, you know, transplants, but it can't be done because it's in all the organs. So that's just a sad thing.
It surprises me, though, one little thing about, you know, all of last year, the country was pretty much shut down. Everything, you know, hardly anybody was venturing out. Everybody stayed inside for, what, maybe 6 months or more?
Eight months.
Unless you had to work, you were one of those essential workers. Thank you very much for doing that.
Yes.
I don't know. But it just shocks me that after the whole country shuts down, we still have, like, what was it doing? How long does it live not in a, I don't know what you call it, a host body or something? Airborne. If it's airborne,
yeah.
How long can it live on a surface or where people are still getting, even after, you know, quarantining for so many months or not going to work or anything, and people are still being affected by it? I thought that was going to kill, you know, it would eventually run itself out, run its course.
You would think, the whole world, though, was shut down, and now they're having major spikes in India, and they're having major spikes in, where was it? I heard just recent, Brazil. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
No one was traveling. You know, they shut down airports. No one was flying in, you know, so there's no excuse for it being still in control like it is.
And it is in control, and it's mutating too. I mean, you know, if you shut it down at the beginning, you would not think it would be mutating, but this is starting to mutate now and spread around the people. It's just a scary thing. It's really, you know, people say, do you know anybody who's been affected? Yeah, I do know somebody who's been affected. And it's a serious thing out there. It really is.
I'm getting some real bad thunder here, so if
you disappear, you usually disappear every show anyway toward the end, so that won't be unusual.
It's like automatic.
Yeah, just automatic. You just, you know, you leave and then you come back. Yeah.
Yep. The phone says, you know what? You've been on long enough. Let me pull the plug.
Let me pull the plug on you.
Automatic every week now. Ron gets over his problems. Passes along here.
That's right. Yeah, you know, one or the other of us have problems. We end up getting. Yeah. Makes it exciting. Well, makes it exciting. Got some things to talk about. excuse me again. I said I was going to look up holidays, wine holidays. So I started to look up wine holidays, and oh my gosh. There are lots of wine holidays. I mean, there's whole months dedicated to different states and stuff like that. Let's see. Let me go to June here, for example. Okay. June? Yeah. June is Idaho Wine Month. It's also Ohio Wine Month and Iowa Wine Month. There's Saturday the 4th. This year was Cognac Day. Sunday the 5th was National Bubbly Day, but those are the dates, the 4th and the 5th for those. And There's Drink Chenin Blanc Day on the 20th, Labrusco Day on the 21st, National Prosecco Week is the 12th to the 18th this year. Rosé Day is the 13th, but it could be the 11th because some of the sites I saw said it's the 11th. And, you know, this is the way the whole thing went. Like Chardonnay Day is Thursday before Memorial Day. So it could, but then one of the things here said it was the 20th, which is like a week before Memorial Day. And it drove me nuts. I'm sitting here trying to mark stuff on a calendar here so I can just have a master. And I've got notes all over the place. I've got some crossed out. I've got little arrows pointing to another day and stuff like that. And everywhere I go, they have different days for different things. It is just insane. So I will continue to work on my calendar here. And then whenever we say that we've got a certain holiday coming up, be give or take 3 or 4 days either direction. I mean, who knows what's going on with these things? It's insane. Like Cabernet Day is the Thursday before Labor Day. All right. And they had it the 25th of this last month, the 25th of August, but that's not the Thursday before. Today is the Thursday before Labor Day. So Cabernet Day actually should be today. And today is also South Africa Sparkling Wine Day. But then another calendar said that it's Friday is Cabernet Day. So, I don't know. I haven't found one that says, I am the authority on wine holidays. There's none out there. They all are different. So, we'll try to keep you informed, try to keep you up to date as much as I can. I will continue to research. I may have my whole calendar here filled up with different days and all that for everything before I'm done, but I don't know. So, this, since we're talking about holidays, September is California Wine Month, Illinois Wine Month, Missouri Wine Month, and North Carolina Wine Month. It's also 2021 is the inaugural Aussie Wine Month. So this is the first month for Aussie Wine Month. Today is also the South African Sparkling Wine Day called Cap Classique Day. Coming up Saturday the 3rd, is International Cabernet Sauvignon Day, as opposed to just Cabernet Sauvignon Day, which is either today or tomorrow or sometime. And then Saturday is also Chianti Day. So I will try to keep you informed as best I can on what days are coming up for what, but everybody tends to put different ones down. And there's some of them that say they're the like November the 17th. Zinfandel Day is the 17th or the third Wednesday in November, it says. So it may be just the third Wednesday of November and not just the 17th. So I don't know. But every week I'll let you know what's coming up and we can still celebrate them unless I get definite days on them. So that's on the calendar here. And excuse me, something else. For those of you who are out there who have a winery or a brewery or anything who's happened to listen to us, there is a site called corkhounds.com. And for those of you who have dogs and want to take them to a vineyard or a winery or a meadery or a brewery, then you can go to www.corkhounds.com. C-O-R-K-H-O-U-N-D-S, corkhounds.com. And it gives a list of the places that welcome your free friend. It's and if you want to register, if you are a winery or a meadery or a vineyard or a brewery, and you want to be part of the list, then all you need to do is go to corkhounds.com/register. And it's a free listing, and you can put your name on their list and go from there. So it's a cool thing. I like that. That's, I wish they had this back when the wineries were open. We were always pet friendly, and I wish they had something like this when they were open. But it's a nationwide search, so no matter where you are, you can always find out if they are dog friendly. You can go to Facebook to Cork Hounds, and Corky Loves Wine. I don't know what that is, and if you got any questions, want to get a hold of them, info@corkhounds.com. Excuse me, we'll get you into it, and you can find out if it's friendly or if you're one of those businesses. Again, if you are a vineyard, a winery, a meadery, or a brewery, and you have more questions, then just go to info@corkhounds.com, which is a cool site, I think. So there you go with that. And let's see, there's something else. Let me go to my favorites here. And I've saved a couple things just to be sure that I can have them, because I was losing them. We talked about the winner already of the two girls that won the prize to work at a winery for a year, which is pretty cool. Severe drought is forcing one of Sonoma's best Syrah vineyards to make no wine this year. This drought in California and the western states is really, really severe. I don't know if you're aware of it or if you followed it or watching it or something, but it's bad. They usually droughts last a year, maybe two. This one is going into like its fifth year of really severe drought, no rain. And one of Sonoma County's best Syrah vineyards will not bear fruit this year because of the lack of water. It's the Griffin's Lair Vineyard in Petaluma. And the owner, John Flynn, says it's not going to happen. Leaves are turning brown. No water is available to give them. And the decision this week to drop the entire crop was made. And he said that that's not a good thing because he supplies Pinot Noir and Syrah grapes to 8 wineries. So it's going to affect at least 8 wineries to an extent. Now, a lot of wineries have more than one vineyard that they count on, but some of them don't. If they're smaller ones, they may end up not having any grapes for those particular wines, and they won't have a harvest this year, or won't have a wine for that this year. So it's affecting all over, but this particular one here is just, it's just sad that it's, the drought's affecting that. You've seen pictures, I'm sure, of Lake Mead and how low that is. It's really low. These lakes, what they do out in California drives me crazy too. They say it is at 153 feet or 122 feet or all that. That's measured from sea level. That's not measured from how deep the lake actually is. I would much, much prefer if they stop that sea level readings, because you got to add so much height to it to get to the bottom of the lake anyway, because they obviously are not at sea level. I wish they would just come out and say, well, this lake right now has lost so much, it's only 30 feet deep or something like that. And I think people would be able to relate it a little bit more instead of saying, well, it's down to 127 feet and it's really severe. Well, 127 feet does not sound severe. Okay, so let me this one here. And, okay, Missouri. I mentioned this is Missouri Wine Month. Missouri Wine Region is starting to become a comeback. They're starting to do well. The Augusta area of Missouri, which is west of St. Louis by about 35, 40 miles, is making a comeback, a big comeback. There is some money being put into it, and it is starting to, they're going to do a lot of stuff to it. The Hoffman family of companies has been putting together a lot of different wineries and stuff, and they have purchased wines. They have now got, let's see, it's a Florida-based company, conglomerate. They purchased more than 1,000 acres of land in the Augusta area, including multiple vineyards, a bed and breakfast, a historic cottage, four of its five wineries that are in the area, and a whole bunch of old buildings that are going to be repainted and fixed up. Their price tag, $100 million, going to be a destination. The area actually was discovered by the Germans back when they came over here in the early 1800s. And it's an area, I could say, east of or west of St. Louis, about a 100-mile area between St. Louis and Jefferson City, which is in the middle of the state's capital. And it's got steep slopes and stuff like that, which reminded them a lot of their native Germany. And so they planted grapes there, and they've been tending it and doing it ever since then. The area is anchored by the town of Hermann, and it is also the area where Stonehill Winery is located. And at one point, Stonehill Winery was the third largest winery in the world, up to 200 million or 2 million gallons of wine were made each year in Missouri back then. They say on this article here that the town of Hermann's phylloxera-resistant rootstock is also responsible for saving the French wine industry. They're talking about phylloxera and all that. And Missouri wants the claim to that. And you go to Texas and they say they have the claim to it. You go to Tennessee and they say they have the claim to it. I don't know. Everybody wants to say they saved the French wine industry. I don't care who did it. Whoever did it, and it worked. So actually, the area of this area is the first AVA in the United States. Everybody's going, what? Yeah, the Hermann area was the first American viticulture area in the United States. It was the area, like I say, 45 minutes by St. Louis, is a 15 square mile grape growing region that is the I know what it is. Okay, what is it? It doesn't say it here, and I got a blank on it. The first American viticulture area, the oldest one, it got its status in June 20th, 1980. That was 8 months before Napa Valley became an AVA. So it actually beat Napa Valley, which is the second AVA to become recognized in the States. Prohibition put the stop sign up for the Missouri wine. They never recovered after Prohibition. After Prohibition, California jumped up and started to do the thing, and Missouri just sort of fell to the wayside as far as a wine area. But the new plans for the area includes a destination restaurant, a 5-star hotel and spa, a 12-hole golf course designed by Reese Jones, a riverboat cruises aboard a luxury yacht that the town is right next to the Missouri River there. And also including a flower and coffee shops, a filling station, and general store, a trolley, a carriage, a gator utility vehicles, which will take people around town into the vineyards, and the Katy Trail, which is America's longest stretch of rails to trails, sits at the foot of downtown Augusta. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And we say that, you know, that's not much there, but there wasn't much in Branson, Missouri, when Branson, Missouri started. I remember going to Branson, Missouri back when I graduated from high school. And this was many years ago, actually 1967. We used, for the senior week, three buddies and I went down to a cabin that one of my buddy's parents had. And it was about 5 miles from Branson. And at the time, Branson consisted of a gas station, a post office, a general store, a bait and tackle shop, and there was one other building. I can't think of it. But that's 1967. That's what it was. You go down there now, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable the difference. And that's, you know, in 50 years. So I actually took them less than that. It took them only about 30 years to do that. So this might be another Branson only for wine. It's a good possibility. David Hoffman is looking at building this up and doing a good full job on this. The Missouri, it actually ranks 10th in the U.S. in wine production. It's selling 1.6 million gallons annually. And it has 5 American viticulture areas and 125 wineries. Now, this is in the whole state of Missouri. There's a bunch of them over in the western part around Kansas City, but quite a few of them. They use a hybrid grape. It's a cross between Native American vines and the Euro-Asian grapevine species, the Vitis vinifera, which is the muscadine family and stuff like that. A lot of the Missouri winemakers deliberately leave a lot of sweetness in the wines because it's a little bit more palatable for people, because without that, it can be quite tart. But the myth that all Missouri wines are sweet is not true. It's there for the tartness, but there's a lot of them that are not made in a sweet style. The Norton grape is the claim to fame in Missouri, but they also claim it in Arkansas. So, you know, as in anything in wine, there's all these other people saying, no, it was me. So whatever. The Norton grape is something that is very popular in Missouri. It can be made dry or it can be made sweet. I've seen sparkling wines made from it. And so there's all sorts of stuff. So it's a big deal. One of the people who they interviewed here, who is a sommelier, said Missouri wines do very well in blind tastings, saying the Norton is the true American grape. He said, can we make wines to compete with $300 Burgundies and Bordeaux? Probably not. Can we make $20 reds, whites, sparkling, rosé, and dessert wines to compete with $20 wines from around the world? Absolutely. So that's what you got to look forward to if you're in the Midwest. They are working on it. They expect 24 months. They're going to start opening up and start having things available. So, and hopefully in 24 months, we're going to be completely over this COVID and be able to get out there and enjoy it in all of its entirety. So, but that's coming to a area just west of St. Louis by about 45 minutes to an hour west of St. Louis in that area there. So a destination, something to look forward to and something to plan. Okay. And let's see, I had something else here on my saves. Now, those are big articles. I want to read those before I start telling you all about it. Now, here I got one. The mutated virus is called C.1.2. So I said B, it's C.1.2. Okay. Let's see. We got. This is what I want here. The burning question for California wine country. Now, that was a cute little use of words. California wine country is burning. I mean, it is. It's on fire out there, and it's bad. It's burning all around vineyards. It's burning all around the hillsides. The area in around Lake Tahoe has been burning. They said that they pretty much got that under control. But a couple of vineyards have been threatened there on the hills that are surrounding the Lake Tahoe area. The, the Cauldron Fire, I believe it's called. And all sorts of places all around the state has had problems with fires. And it has done two things. Number one, it's burned up vineyards. And we've heard about some of those. We've talked about some of those in the show. But another thing it's doing is smoke and a smoke taint. And there are lawsuits and there are all sorts of problems with the smoke taint. And it's not anything that, it's not anything that anybody can really do, because with the smoke and the flames, it's serious. If it's not added onto the insurance policy, which has to be before, then it's not going to be covered. And if you add it to your insurance policy, it becomes very, very expensive. Because especially now, since they are getting the fires. So the area is having problems because of the drought, which is drying out the grasses and the trees, and then the lightning and the electric company out there in California has been the cause of a couple of pretty big fires themselves. And all of this is making an impact on the vineyards and the wineries. And it's not looking to get any better. They're saying that the line where fires usually stop when they're growing up mountains and stuff, the line has gotten further up the mountain by about 1,500 feet because of the drying out of the plants and everything. It used to just be so far, and it would pretty much kill itself at that line because of the moisture and because the altitude is up. Not anymore. It's advanced by 1,500 feet, 1,200, 1,500 feet. And so, therefore, that is causing more problems. So one of the most serious things out in California right now is these fires and the repercussions from the fires. They are trying to keep it from getting in areas that can cause problems. But again, the smoke taint and the smoke and the air and all that doesn't stay within boundaries. It's all over. San Francisco itself has air warnings, as air quality warnings that have been popping up a lot over the last couple of 3 weeks. So the price. And you say, well, that doesn't affect me. Yeah, it will, because the price of all of this is going to end up costing more for your bottle of wine. Your California bottle of wine is going to get more expensive because of the fact that it's going to cost more to produce, it's going to cost more to pay for the insurance that's going to be there. It's going to overall be more expensive on everything. So it will affect you if you're buying California wines or, and I just say California wines, but you know, the thing is, it's not just California wines. California sells grape juice and grapes around the country. I don't think there is a single state in the nation that doesn't get juice or grapes from California. Everybody does. Everybody has it shipped in and everybody makes it. And because of that, it's going to cost more to get that juice. It's going to cost more to ship it. And that's something that, you know, drives everybody crazy. The shipping costs are outrageous now. And overall, just it's more expensive for everything. And because of that, it's going to be more whenever you go down to the store and grab your bottle of the wine that you're so used to grabbing. You're going to grab it and it's going to end up costing you more money. And you're going to say, why is this up? That's why it's up. And because of all that. So, just to let you know, you're going to see price increase because of what's happening out there. Okay, what is this article? Okay, this is along the same line. California North Coast wine grape smoke damage is headed to court. And it's because of that. Three North Coast cases have came to the forefront in the past 6 months related to wine grapes harvested during the Glass, Wahlberg, and Hennessy fires that took place in Napa, Sonoma, and Lake counties. And it said that Gallo Vineyards, a grape growing arm of the Gallo family's wine ventures, sued an affiliate of Napa Valley's Long Meadow Ranch, claiming that it lost $420,000 because contracted fruit last fall was rejected because of smoke damage and had to be sold just before harvest at a much lower price. So the original contract price for the Long Meadow Ranch Wine Estates, LLC, was $5,500 a ton. But Gallo ended up selling the fruit to Custom Crush Winery Canaris Ventures for $2,000 a ton. So Gallo Vineyards is suing because they were rejected on that. It's going to be an interesting result of this because there's smoke taint all over. They're starting to be able to figure, we've talked about this in the past, about what smoke taint and how it can be detected and what it's going to do and all that. But it's an ongoing battle between these people who are rejecting it. Obviously, the companies that are making the wine do not want to take a chance on the grapes being tainted. And if it is, then it's not going to be any good on the wine. And you don't know. But there are companies that are being able to test it now, which is a good thing. They're being able to see the effects of the smoke on the grapes before they actually are made into wine. Normally, smoke taint doesn't show up until the wine is finished. And now it is, they're able to test it. Ohio is permitting direct-to-customer shipments. It is yet another company that is, or another state, I said company, another state. The change to Ohio's direct-to-customer wine shipping laws to allow larger-scale wineries to join the market has been a long time coming, it says. And it's been an ongoing effort by groups such as Free the Grapes and the Wine Institute. Check out Free the Grapes, by the way. I always mention this, freethegrapes.org. It's a great site to see where it can be shipped and what can't be shipped. And I think there's just one state that's left now that is restricting this direct to customer is New Jersey. I think most others now are allowing it. But Ohio is allowing it. You have to get a license. It's House Bill 110 contains some provisions that state that it's available to wineries producing more than 250,000 gallons a year. The license's initial cost of $250 with a renewal of $100 a year, which is really reasonable. I mean, some of the licenses are outrageous in some of these states, but this is really reasonable. So, excuse me. Ohio is now permitting direct-to-customer shipping for larger-scale wineries. They used to cut that down. If you're making so much, you couldn't do it. Now they're allowing it. Okay. Russia and champagne. Let's talk about that. I mentioned that Russia has announced a new law, to the world. Their law states we do not want any more champagne labeled coming into our country. You can label it sparkling wine. You can label it any number of other things that you want, but not champagne. We will reserve that for Russian wine, Russian champagne alone. And everybody's going, what? You can't do that. That's illegal. Well, the French minister has backed champagne over the new Russian law. The outrage over the new Russian labeling has caused France's foreign trade minister all sorts of irate words and everything to Russia. The only thing, champagne makers were taken by surprise late last week. Now, this is a couple of weeks ago now. Actually, it's more than that. It's about 3 weeks ago. Taken by surprise after President Vladimir Putin reported to have signed a law stating the word Champagne, which is a direct translation of champagne, is now reserved exclusively for domestic wineries in Russia. So, it says champagne and Latin characters can appear on the main bottle label in Russia, but the back label must say sparkling wine, according to the new Committee of Champagne. So, it says they're still going through some finer points of the rule and all that, but the Minister of Foreign Trade is hot about this. He said, we have been called champagne for years. This is our district. Everyone else in the world has agreed to it. And you can't just throw this in here all of a sudden and tell us we can't do this. And guess what? Russia says, yeah, we can. We can do anything we want. So it is becoming a quite contentious episode just about every week. I see another article about things going on and things happening and all that about what's going on there about the champagne and labeling it champagne and calling it. Some wineries are saying, well, okay, we can put up with this. We're not going to worry about it. Others are saying, this is ridiculous. We don't want to do this. I don't know what you're trying to do to us. I mean, it's just a continuous thing. So I'll let you know as I find out stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on about it. Okay, exactly. Or is this the one that? No, that's a long article. I'm going to read that and find out everything about it before I talk about this. Well, I'll talk about this next week. But the president signed an executive order. I'll give you a little tease on this. The president signed an executive order basically telling the TTB to do things they've already been doing, but also notes they're a bit vague, bringing up more questions than answers as to what inhibits competition. Okay, this is what the executive order basically said. It's promoting competition in the American economy, and said nobody had any idea there would be a section completely dedicated to alcohol. It was a surprise to everyone, including TTB. Another executive order wasn't, and it was signed on a Friday afternoon, which is usually a dead time, and before the weekend, there's usually not much press coverage on stuff like that. So it caught everybody as surprise. It says much of the order can be taken as good news, but for the alcohol industry, except beer, wine, and spirits as a whole are okay. This is the first time that the federal government has taken a deep look at some of the issues the industry has been battling for years. So, again, I'm not going to get all the way into this here because it's a long article that I have to read about, and then there's another one that's pretty long that I have to read about, and I want to be sure I have all the facts and everything in front of me. Does it inhibit competition that you're only allowed to ship to certain states? Is the federal government looking to supersede shipping laws and create a federal shipping license? Oh my gosh, I hope not. If the federal government gets involved in alcohol distribution, what does that do in terms of the 21st Amendment, which is the one that ended prohibition and turned the power over to the states to regulate it? And, so there's lots of stuff coming up from this. We don't know. We don't know what's happening yet. I will let you know. As always, as the stories unfold, I will continuously get on top of it and let you know what's happening. Let's see. This next one here. Where is it? Oh. Climate change, another issue that is an issue all the time. Climate change is starting to affect wines around the world. And it is not just, not just in California, but all over. Foothills of Chianti Classico in central Italy, a couple making their way down to rows of vineyards and inspect their fruit, and grapes are ripening too fast under the hot sun, and too much bronzing is going on. And if they're not careful, it can turn it into raisins, turning the wine into a syrupy, unpleasant blend. Annual harvests in the Chianti Classico region date back to 1354. But now, because of the higher peak temperatures, the biggest jump in over 30 years, there's been an impact on how the grapes are ripening and how they are holding their sugars and how they are staying on the vine. It's a continuous thing. We are going into another cycle. From the 1950s to the 1990s, 1986, something like that, we were in a sort of a cooling period. Now it's switching around into a warming period, and a lot of these areas that are used to having ideal temperatures are warming up, and they're not so ideal anymore. So the climate change is causing the flavor of the grapes to change because it is causing the sugars to concentrate in the fruit more. And that's going to do two things. If they're going to ferment out the sugars, it's going to raise the alcohol, because that's what happens when you ferment out the sugar of a grape. The alcohol level goes up. If you leave the sugars in, it keeps alcohol low, but it's going to make it sweet. So it's something that wineries are a little concerned about, with the quicker ripening and the sugar levels going up in their grapes, to keep the consistent quality in the dry wines without making them too sweet, which, you know, it's been an issue over the years, but it's getting worse now. So, excuse me, the grapes are, they can't pick them too soon, because if they do, then it's really going to affect, you know, it's not going to be completely ripe, and it's going to start giving you a lot of acid. But if they wait too long, then it's going to start getting much sweeter, and it's going to create a problem there. So we'll see what's happening. I'm sure there's going to be more written about that, because it is a constant thing we'll have to look at. Oh, what did I do? I lost my page here. There it is. Okay. Nope, not there. Okay, here. Is this what we want right here? Shipping containers. Here's something that caught my eye, which I want to share with you. Shipping containers, something you don't think too much about. You see big cargo ships. I think the last time everybody saw a big cargo ship with shipping containers on it was when that ship got stuck in the Suez Canal, and it was full of shipping containers. Shipping containers are great big metal things that they put on ships that sail across the ocean, and they can stack those things tremendously high and load those ships with those shipping containers like you wouldn't believe. And something else I'll let you know about here too, the shipping container company, the ships that sign you up, you actually have a clause in your contract that states that if for any reason that ship is sinking or it's listing in bad waters or anything else like that, it can dump containers, and they are not liable for that. So if you happen to be getting something in the container and it's sitting at the top of the thing and they dump it, then you're just, you know, SOL. It's not anything you can do about it. So, shipping containers costs continue to rise a lot. And incentives to deadhead empty containers to Asia for quicker turnaround are at the root of these concerns. It just deadhead basically empty containers to ship back to Asia, so that they can fill them up and bring them here again. And they're not doing it. They want a full load to go back. And so if wineries are trying to ship wine to places like China and stuff, boat's a horrible way to do it, but it's done that way a lot. And same thing with coming up from South America and Chile and Argentina and all that stuff. Shipping containers are used a lot to ship wine, which is, I hate it. It's a horrible way to do it, because they can get really, if they're not taken care of, they can cook the wine. But if they're shipped in the right time of year and stuff like this, it's usually not too much of a problem. But California nut marketers have seen their shipping prices increase dramatically because of the cost of shipping containers and filling them up and having them shipped at a timely manner. And it's the same thing happens with wine or anything else. A lot of the shipping containers that you do it, let's say, well, here you go. Shipping container fees that were once $2,500 pre-COVID are now much higher. A shipping container from Hong Kong to Los Angeles now costs over $7,600. That's up from $2,500. That does not include shipping costs on the vessel and other assorted costs like, you know, loading and unloading and all that. Those are all different. So spot market container costs are said to run between $12,000 and $15,000 per container. OMG, that is just unbelievable amount of increase in the cost of everything. So if you're shipping wines from overseas and you are using containers, it's just causing your cost to jump to the roof again, even more so than what it was. And a lot of ports are backed up. I just saw a picture the other day of ships waiting out in the harbor to get into Los Angeles port. And it was, and I may be wrong on a number here, but they said there was like 22 ships sitting out there waiting to get in, which is the most they've had sitting out there waiting ever. It's just, it's backing up. And a couple of reasons. Number one, they're not getting enough workers on the docks. And number two, COVID, which is probably number one. And, you know, other little minor things. But all these ships are sitting out there waiting to be unloaded. And as long as they're sitting out there, it's costing money. And so, therefore, it's going to add to the cost of everything. So ports need to be running 24 hours a day, and if you're getting wine shipped across the ocean on containers, and a lot of them use containers because it's just so much cheaper than trying to fly enough wine across to fill your orders, the distributing houses and stuff like that will fill up a container in Italy from everywhere, from Spain and France and Germany and all that, get a full container. But here I just saw an article here. It says ships waiting at Los Angeles returned to over 30 ships in wait as almond, walnut, and potato harvest activities picked up in California. So they were waiting to fill up. So the U.S. crops shipped predominantly from the three West Coast ports by percentage of total U.S. agricultural exports includes oranges, 77%, prepared tomatoes, 75%, hides and skins, 62%, cotton, 62%, and wine, 53%. So pretty big number there on wine. And this is nearly half of all the shipping containers leave from three ports out of California. I want to say Oakland, L.A., and Long Beach. I was going to think maybe San Diego, but it's Long Beach. So even more cost to our wine. Everything is sad. Everything is going up. And it has. I don't know if you go on notice that, but everything is costing more money now. So there we go. For tonight, I'm going to tell you about the president's executive order and how it's going to affect wine next week. I'm going to talk about that and let you know what's going on with that and how that might affect everything, not just our cost, but a lot of stuff, shipping and everything else.
Yeah. And major shipping delays as well. And a lot of industries have been affected by it. And it's amazing how long used to get supplies or parts or, you know, whatever, how it used to be. And now all of a sudden it can take, you know, months to get something that used to take a couple of weeks, if that. But it's ridiculous. A lot of industries affect.
New cars. New cars are backed up now. I don't know if it's gotten better, but new cars, there's a little box that's, 3 inches by 3 inches, that all the electronics from the car runs through that box. And they're only made in China. And China is so far behind that they can't furnish the world with them. Toyota had a contract, and they haven't been falling behind. But just about every other car manufacturer around the world is backed up because of those little boxes. Now, you can buy used cars, and actually, if you have a used car, you can go down to any car dealer, and they will give you a lot more than it's worth because they want cars on the lot. But new cars are hard to get because of that little box, and they can't get them shipped out and made fast enough. And there's another delay.
Wow. So. Yep. Doesn't look like it's getting any better.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's the sad thing about it. It's just, it's not picking up any.
No.
So. Although.
Well.
I'm just saying the national unemployment compensation checks end tomorrow. This is they end tomorrow. So all these people have been getting unemployment checks from the government and from the state are going to lose half of that income. So maybe people will start going back to work now and help out all these businesses that need help.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought it already stopped. I didn't realize it was.
I just read something. Ends. It said it ended this Friday, I think, or something like that. End of August, but then because August had 2 days in this week, it goes to Friday. Or 3 days, technically. So it is ended, though. You're right. They extended it for a little period of time, but this is it now.
Over a holiday weekend.
You're right. Yeah, I never thought of that. You're right, yeah.
It's Labor Day. So the day you're funding or the weekend that your funding gets cut off, your unemployment, it's the day that people take off for labor.
Because you're for the workers. Oh, reminder again, though, before we get off. Tomorrow, Cabernet Day, and Saturday, International Cabernet and Cabernet Sauvignon Day, and Saturday is Chianti Day. And today is South African Sparkling Wine Day, which is Cap Classique Day, which is what it's called. So just some holidays to celebrate there over the weekend.
Yep. There you go. Very good. Thank you all out there for tuning in. As always, if you have any questions about the show, I'll direct them to Ron. And the email address is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. So email him. And also, if you want to be a guest on the show, if you're in the wine industry at some capacity, let us know. And maybe we can get you on the program one of these Thursdays or whenever. We've also done pre-recorded ones for people around the earth. But we can
if
do
can't
something.
Make it on Thursday. We can work with you. Yeah.
Yeah, let us know. And thanks again for tuning in. And we appreciate it. And we will see you all next Saturday, Thursday, 7 p.m. September the 9th will be the next show next Thursday. So have a great week. And be safe and be safe for Labor Day. And we'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Get your shot. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinepr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About.
That's it.
That was loud there, Tina.
It was. Okay, we are done on one. Let me close out this other window.
Oh, did you leave us again?